And I have said to people that you may never get to that point where you can get to the acceptance phase that grief talks, you know, we talk about in grief, that acceptance, well, I can accept that this has happened. People say to me, I'll never accept this. And I say to them, you may accept the fact that they're dead and it'll take a long time, but what you may never accept and which you, I mean, may not comprehend is the fact that how they were killed and why they were killed, because you may never get that answer. You may never get that answer. And that's what's so frustrating, because you cannot accept the fact that someone brutally, maliciously did this to your loved one. You can't figure that out. There's no answer to that. Even when you find out how they were killed and where they were killed and what you find out throughout the trial and what happened to their physical body, the medical examiner's report when he comes on the stand is the hardest day in the trial, because he literally discusses how that person was killed, why, where. Were they on their back? Were they standing up? When the medical examiner got on the TV that day and said they were alive before they hit the water, I thought to myself, that should never have been said on national TV. Never. For a grieving family to find that out, and if later we go and find out it was a bomb, I mean, you know, even if it wasn't a bomb, I mean, that sticks with people. You know that when in the beginning of your grief, you're at your most sensitive point. Anything people do or say around you sticks with you. And you can't, people are, you know, need to be conscious of those things, of why you say what you say and when you say it. As far as physical concerns, not enough sleep, insomnia to great amount of sleep, too much food versus not enough food, not eating, a lot of the same symptoms that regular grief brings. The one thing, though, that I find amazing is how much drug abuse and alcoholism comes from this. It's such a painful process that we have to mask it in some way. We don't know how else to get through it. I have heard families who have told me that after their funeral, they came back to find a candy dish full of Valium of every color you could imagine by strength, because that's what their family and friends thought they needed. So it's like, okay, I'll pick two and a four. Amazing. And we find that, especially in the beginning, you are trying to mask all that because it's just too heavy of a burden. And the shock, and, you know, thank God our bodies do handle shock. I mean, it saves us from such an incredible impact. I've known many men especially who choose not to deal with this anger and frustration, and I've seen in our groups where men, 2 years after the murder of their child, have died, stroke, heart attack, ulcers, all kinds of illness from people who don't know how to bring out all this loss and pain. And so we need so much to find avenues to bring out this grief and this rage. I wish I could build, you know, like some room in every single city in the country where they could go and like throw things or hit things or, you know. And even though you tell people, go exercise, they don't want to be around people who are normal and perfect and exercising and look great. They don't want to be around those folks. Hospitalization, attempted suicides, a lot of that, even in young children. I know a family where the daughter was 17, her sister was murdered. She was 2 years older than her. Attempted suicide like 3 times. You know, finally made it. But a lot of attempted suicide, especially among young people after this, among the siblings, because their identity crisis is there and they're trying to just build their own life, and this hits, and their parents are devastated. They're dealing with the police, they're dealing with the DAs, and they kind of get shoved behind. And by the time you recognize how needy they are, it's almost too late. and there aren't enough sibling groups out there, especially for teenagers. You know, a lot of people are setting up bereavement groups for young kids, you know, up to like 14. But what about the ones who are like trying to get through the hardest time in their life, and they're trying to deal with the murder of their brother or sister, and they don't know where they fit into the family. Before they had two, you know, now it's just them. They're an only child, or now they're the oldest, and now all the expectations, you know, fall on them. And usually what happens, I've seen many times where the children take on the role of the parents and the parents take on the role of the child. And they do the bills and they do everything in the house to keep it running, to make a functioning household as best they know how. And then about 3 or 4 years go by and the trial is over and now they explode. Because they feel, okay, mom and dad are at a safe enough point where it's my turn. And now everybody's saying to them, you should be over this by now. I mean, it's 3 or 4 years later. You know, this is over. The trial is over. You should be fine. Because all along, they were the responsible person acting like they were fine. And so now they have fights, they get arrested, they beat up policemen. I had a couple of brothers whose younger brother was murdered, and all of a sudden, 2 years after the fact, he was in bars, drinking to excess. When they would try to break up fights, he would hit the police officer, be arrested. And I was able to get local attorneys that I knew, who were district attorneys and moved over to defense, and I would call them and say, Tim, please. Go bail this kid out for me. He's just going through this phase. And it's so difficult because they don't have the nurturing and the love and the care that they need. It's like you wish you could get the surrogate parent for all these young ones and just kind of bring them into the household when the parents have fallen apart and say, okay, I'll handle you. I'll nurture you. I'll care for you. I'll be there for you. I'll listen to you. Because the parents can't. They just can't. And it just brings on this dysfunctional family. Like I couldn't even describe how the impact is so wide-reaching.